Good morning, Local 304, and particularly my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Well, I guess this morning's podcast starts off with some good news that turns bad. Well, it appears that the local trial board don't want to see me tomorrow on my day off, but they'd rather see me on the 24th and 25th, thereby causing me to miss 2 days of work. While I'm not in a union paid status, they're going to hear my case on the 24th, and then the case filed against me by one of our branch presidents, not Dayton in this particular instance, they're going to hear that case on the 25th. Well, I just want to say to the members, you see, this is how your union just breeds with inefficiency. The reality of what's about to happen is I'm going to miss 2 days' pay, but the executive board, who will sit and hear this trial probably for about an hour or so, will probably get 2 additional pay days from the union. So what could possibly be taken care of in 1 day, again, good old Local 304, let's drag this out for 2 days. And I say that because day one and day two are pretty much the exact same charges, just filed by different people on behalf of the local president. That's what I believe. Now, I have to ask the members of Local 304, what kind of a branch president would file charges against another branch president for, be it whatever they want to call it, bottom line, for helping members? For helping members, what kind of a branch president would file charges on another branch president for that act? And all this is done for one sole purpose, and that is to ensure Kenneth Hodge is not a candidate for local president. Members, you got to understand, when anyone or any group of people try as hard as the Local 304 headquarters and a lot of the executive board, definitely the trial board, when you have that many people conspiring to ensure someone is not eligible to be a candidate, that must be someone who is in a position to do great things for the union. And when I say great things, I mean things that will be beneficial to you, that will make you sit and wonder why the hell you didn't speak up earlier about the poor treatment you were getting. Now, let's get to our Monday morning podcast. Hey, Columbus, Ohio, if you look around your work environment, you should notice that our bids are slowly evaporating into everybody works everywhere. Yeah, I'm saying it with a bit of humor, but you know, years ago, there was a grievance arbitration decision, that disbanded what the Columbus, Ohio called pool drivers. Now, pool drivers were drivers who, that was your bid just to drive anywhere, anytime, on direction you would go. But we won a grievance that says that's not what we do now. We have bid jobs. We have bid jobs, and your bid job keeps you in a particular area. Now, naturally, if there is no work in your bid location, then by all means, management should allocate your resources elsewhere. But when there's work in your area, and we're constantly being asked, like, for example, a common page in Columbus, Ohio might sound like this: apps drivers, pick up mail on the north dock. Didn't really know that was part of what an apps driver did. I'm just saying, maybe I need to reread. And I do understand other duties as assigned when it comes to a bid, but I thought that's what drivers who were assigned to the dock or the platform, depending on the building you're in, I thought that's what they did. But again, and Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If there's no work in your area, then you should be more than happy to go to the North Dock. But if there's work in your area, but management refuses to either schedule overtime or cover it, what's happening is you will hear someone say to you of the management type, you know, you drive on the apps, we need you to pick up the mail on the North Dock. Well, again, if that's part of my bid assignment, then it's kind of new to me. And maybe, again, I need to be re-educated on that. But I think that there should be drivers on the dock doing what dock drivers, to the best of my knowledge, are supposed to do. And that is unload trucks and spread mail throughout the plant.
Load trucks as well.
Just an observation I'm making. A quick public service announcement. Due to popular demand, the 180-degree webpage went from a closed group to an open group. So you can follow my blogs, my posts on 180 degrees New Direction. That's going to be the voice, that the platform that I'm going to exercise my freedom of speech. Hey, one other thing that's starting to get energized in City Gate. I've been talking to a mail handlers, and the issue of safety and how we move equipment in City Gate plant was our topic of discussion. And it seems to be that on every tour, you are allowed to move different pieces of equipment with different pieces of equipment with no standardization. Now, I know this might sound hard to believe. Two mail handlers on lunch actually studying the EL 814, Postal Services Handbook on Safety. Yeah, this is taking place during lunch. I'm telling you, 180 degrees, it's going to get contagious. So why don't you avoid the rush and get on board now? Now, part of the safety awareness, and again, I'm not trying to start a new committee. Conversation just came up. And I want to introduce or reintroduce to you a form called 1767, Report of Hazardous or Unsafe Work Environment. Now, listen, if you are in hazardous and unsafe work environments, then that 1767 is a report that you fill out and give it to your supervisor. And what happens is, sometimes if you ask a supervisor to do a certain thing, they may get busy or they may just forget. But when you put it in writing on a 1767, it kind of keeps that memory a little sharper than it would have been normally. So 1767, report a hazardous and unsafe work conditions. If you find that be the case, let's help postal management maintain a safe work environment. If you're not familiar with that form, let me give you one quick example of what that form should be and is going to be used for. Not too long ago, there was a mail handler on tour one who reported a hazardous package, leaking package, or something to that effect. And to my understanding, maintenance stood by and directed the employee to contain that hazard. Well, first of all, I probably would not have followed those instructions. Second of all, I would have followed the 1767, because maintenance, if the story is true, no disrespect, maintenance personnel, but maintenance is trained to handle that. And if you notice a package of sort of hazardous that you deem to be hazardous, then you are supposed to notify your supervisor and move away from the area, to the best of my knowledge. So in that case, filling out a 1767 probably would have made that situation known to the plant manager, who may have taken a different course of action, or at the very least, it's a initial form should the hazard continue, that if you have to take it further, it's a great piece of documentation to show that you did attempt to work with local management, the lowest level, again, to get it resolved, but for whatever reason, their schedules would not allow the resolve to take place. And to pit drivers in Columbus, Ohio, I have a question that I'd like for you to send a response back on 180 Degree New Direction Facebook page. And the question is, are you allowed to transport BMCs with a walkie rider, long walkie rider, or forklift? And if so, how should they be transported? Again, that's a question I'm going to put on the podcast. And if you have a response, and I hope a bunch of folks do, please respond on 180 Degree New Direction Facebook page, and I'll respond back to you. Hey, listen, that's my podcast for this Monday morning. Let's stay safe, and I'll see you when I see you.